good singing all the way around. By the way, Brother Dylan done a great job leading singing in your absence. I guarantee you right now he did. Just like he jumped up here and was ready to rip, ready to go. Have you been playing your Nintendo games? Some? At least you're honest. You been studying some? You got a sermon or something? Tonight, you can preach with me tonight. You can take all the time you leave, but now I can't stay more than an hour. But tonight, yeah. Tonight, if you be ready, and you can preach with me alone there, and you start out, and I'll take whatever's left over and all that. All right? All right, let me see if I can get this little button here turned on right quick. How's that? Is that it? Thank you. I appreciate the new sound system and all that. I think it sounds great, looks great. It's a better sound system than I am a sound maker. And we appreciate that. And then is C, Inauguration Day. When is that? Coming up Monday? Huh? Tomorrow. Now here's what I'm curious about. Isn't Martin Luther King and they in the whole world trying to, isn't that tomorrow? State holiday. Paid holiday. That's what I see. I mean, what's the matter with these people here? We couldn't have got it. Yeah. I'm telling you right now. So they're going to have the Inauguration Day on the same day as Martin Luther King Jr. Huh? I have a dream. I have a dream. Yeah, and it's become a nightmare, too, is what that it is. All right, take your Bible, if you will. And let's not forget to remember to pray for it. Let me just say to you, and I don't want to get bogged down because, you know, I'm not a real controversial person and all of that business there. But make no mistake about it, buddy, we have got a bunch of demon-possessed Democratic people in the Democratic Party. And I tell you right now is I hope you'll pray for them, the leader of our country. Pray about this here. Elon Musk is going to take 100 people and make millionaires out of them through stock trading. I hope I'm one of them. I'm going to guess no, but it'd be nice. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Proverbs, chapter number 22. You find the place you're able to stand. We'll look there in chapter number 22. And we'll look in about verse number, let's just start with verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. See, there are some things money can't buy. The rich and the poor, they meet together, the Lord's maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but a simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward, and he doeth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We pray that, Lord, you'd help us to be able to exalt and magnify your name together. Our hearts are thrilled as we see these young men and young ladies growing up, serving God, taking the place of our ranks. Lord, we want to say thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and bless, I pray, this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on three things it takes to raise a child. The Bible said over there in the book of Psalm, chapter number 127, that children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. And as a result of that, you and I have been entrusted with these children. And as a result of that, you and I ought to be able to exalt the Lord and magnify the Lord and bring them down to the house of God. Now, it's a shame in the day and hour that we're living in, and our country shows it and has for a long time, of children that grew up without God, without the Bible, without a loving mother and daddy, with nobody to care for them one way or the other. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that children come untrained. And let me tell you right now, they're not going to be automatically trained. They're not just all of a sudden you have a baby. I can promise you right now is that... Not that I ever needed one. I was a model student. Mama always told me what a good boy I was, even while she was beating me on the other hand. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to say that we've got to train them. They come untrained. So what in the world are we going to do to be able to train them? Well, first of all, they're going to have some enlightenment. And enlightenment, and I'm talking about know something about God and something about the Word of God, something whenever they hear a man preaching, that if he's in the book, which is the Word of God, or not. See? I can tell you right now is that every kid in this building right here, you let somebody stand up that's a deadhead, they're going to know it real quick. You get somebody up, got God on them, they're going to know that real quick. That's the reason why that whenever you and I train up children, that we're to enlighten them. And let me tell you, we're to exhort them by the word of the Lord. You know, it's not enough just to admonish one of these children, but there's a reason that's behind that, and that is to enlighten them as to the will of God and the mind of God, and to exhort them in the things of God. And let me say to you that they're going to have to learn by example. You realize, you know, if one of your kids, if you've got a kid that's a cusser, guess where they learn that? You got a kid that's a non-believer, guess where they learn that from? See, what we're talking about is that you're going to find out is that we're to be an example. It's not one of these things, well, now, don't do like I do like I tell you to do. That's sorry preaching. That's sorry practicing. We ought to be an example that whatever we're doing, they ought to be able to follow that good example. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out, I realize, though, that the best encouragement you'll ever give your child comes from you, and it comes from the example that you have in the Word of the Lord. I got to say to you that if you begin to look into these three things that are here, one of them is it's going to take some training. Train up a child in the way they should go. It's going to take some trust. And let me tell you right now, it's going to take the truth of God. I mean, whenever you and I are speaking the word of the Lord, whether you're teaching, whether you're preaching, is that these children ought to know, hey, that's the truth of God that he's talking about. And I want to stay with whatever it is. I got to say to you, whenever you begin to look into it, is that, first of all, it's going to take the Bible, isn't it? I was thinking about as I was looking at the blessed word of the Lord, the Bible said over in the book of Romans, chapter number 15, about verse number 4, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. And our learning that we might be able to practice and to be able to learn from God and practice from God what we've learned from him. In this Bible lesson that we are at, you're going to find out is that the Bible is a book of conviction. You know, if there's never any conviction, there'll never be any conversion. And the reason being because it's like this here, conviction, correction, and conversion. Is that the way it is? And let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that you'll find that we're never going to be right and we're never going to be in the way till we're in God's way. And if you walk with God and talk with God and fellowship with God, you'll be on the right path. You're in the right direction. You're in the right way. I was thinking about, you know, in this lesson here over in the book of Isaiah, don't turn there, chapter 1, verse 17, Bible said, learn to do well. See, learning is something that ought to put you on the right track, right relation with God, and it'll be well with you as well as with him. We'll fellowship with him one with another. And by the way, when you look into it, you'll find that we're born sinners without God. We're not doing so well. But when we learn to do well, we've learned it at the hand of God and by the word of the Lord and by the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Saved by the wonderful grace of God. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you something, is that what this world lacks that we live in is the fact that they're ignorant about the need we have for the Savior. You know, as you think about and you come to the house of God on a regular basis, is that you'll find out that we're in a battle. The public education system, whether it be college or whatever that it is, you better have a good, strong foundation and learn something about God because they're going to try to suck it all out of you. Let me tell you what they are and what they feel like. They want to undo all that God has ever been able to teach you as a child, and everything you've learned at your house, and everything you've learned from the Bible, and everything you've learned from the church. The world wants to be able to suck that out of you. That's why they hammer the subject and the heresy of Darwinism so strongly, the evolution doctrine so strongly. Somebody was arguing one time in years, many years ago, and they were trying to say, well, I don't know how in the world you people, you Baptists, want to discount and discredit Darwinism and evolution. And I said, well, that's not just a Baptist doctrine, that's a Bible doctrine. And let me just tell you right up front is that I don't believe in evolution until I looked at you. So that makes them mad. You're not evolving into anything that looks too good. I mean, my word, you're as ugly as them people from, where was it? Where was that people that from that y'all went to?
Minnesota.
They grow up so fast, don't they? In the lesson that we're talking about here, make no mistake about it, you'll find that those people up north is that they no doubt, they like to believe in evolution, and as ugly as Hillary Clinton is and as ugly as some of them other heifers are. I mean, if there was somebody in evolution, it'd be like Nancy Pelosi. But there's no such thing. They got as mean as they are and as atheistic minded as they are because they don't believe God, the Bible, and good and right and moral and decent. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that man's born into the world a depraved creature. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that the Lord is going to chasten and he's going to scourge those that belong to him. There's a passage over there that we talk about over in the book of Proverbs. It's in chapter number 3, and it's in about verse number 12 when you look into that passage there. And as we look there in chapter 3, he says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom that he delighteth." Now, you know, we live in a world that somehow or another, and you may be saying, you know, I've never given my kid a spanking. Shame on you. Now, you ought not to be looking for a reason to, but make no mistake about it, you're going to need a Bible as well as a belt to be able to do something to train up a child. As a result of that, you're going to probably have to tell them over and over again. Have you ever wondered why kids like to go to somebody else's house and stay at somebody else's house and get away from you and get away from your house and all your rules and regs? Have you ever wondered why that is? Because that parent's not having to put up with them and hadn't had to tell them the same thing over and over 5,000 times. So naturally, there's nobody there. And let me just say to you that, if you will, I know what people are thinking. Here's what they do. They finally say, well, you know, I realize and I recognize that you can just love a person and so forth and on. And, well, that's true. You can. But the Bible says, and here's a passage, and you look in Isaiah chapter number 26 and verse 10. Listen to it carefully. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet he'll not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. See, a person that's born into this world without hope, without God, we're born sinners. And let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that when we're born into this world, you can treat them as nice as you want to. They're never going to learn to do right by that. They're going to have to learn something about a disciplined mind and about disciplined thinking and about the word of the Lord, and to be able to believe God and the Bible and so forth and so on. The Bible says in the book of Psalm, chapter number 94, and about verse number 12, verse 11 says, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom that thou chasten, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy way." As we look into it, you begin to realize and know that God's in the disciplinary action. And what he wants to do is he wants to show us what's right and what's wrong according to the word of the Lord. And let me tell you, whom the Lord loveth, the Bible said, the Lord chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. And as a result, you're going to find out is that man, though he's a depraved creature and has animal instincts, I'll tell you what, he's got madness and he's got murder in his heart. That's the way humanity is. There's a passage over there in the book of Jeremiah chapter 2 and also in chapter number 19. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah chapter number 2 at about verse number 34. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor of the innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all of these. There's a condemnation of those that have their garments splattered with the blood of the innocents, the blood of those that have been aborted. As a result of that, you'll find out. I remember old Brother Phil used to say, well, I'll read to you from Jeremiah chapter number 19. I can remember whenever he used to say, you know, when a pregnant lady goes into an abortion clinic, only one of those persons that walk in is going to come back out alive. That's true, isn't it? As we look into this Bible lesson, you'll find out God condemns that. Jeremiah 19, look in verse number 4. There's a passage there that we ought to look at. And here's what he says. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense unto other gods, whom neither they know nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and they have filled this place with the blood of the innocents. Now, I realize that the world somehow or another thinks they're just going ahead and they're going to go ahead and get by with what they like to do or want to do or their heathenistic ways, and that God's not going to notice it. God has noticed it, and God has recorded it more than one time in the Bible. It's going to take the Bible to be able to bring up a child in a way they should go. Number two is it's going to take some books. Now, you know, learning to read and write and do arithmetic, math skills that is, history, the history of America. Have you ever noticed in these last three or four years how there's been so many riots and people have tried to erase the history of the United States of America? Have you ever noticed that? They don't want you knowing where our forefathers came from and what they believe concerning the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. In this lesson that we're looking at, there was an old preacher, he said, and I quote, "We live in a mongrelized, sex crazy, self-loving world, and they despise work, they despise honesty. They can produce nothing but terrorists, dope addicts, and marchers, and protesters, and demonstrators, and welfare recipients, and people who are drifters, jailbirds, bums, civil rights, workers, and perverts." Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know who the old preacher was, but I wish I'd have said all that. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find is that schools that we used to have were under our pilgrimage forefathers, and as a result of that, they believe God, the old Puritans, they produced statesmen, and they produced Bible-believing. Their word was their bond. I can remember whenever I was growing up, as that my daddy used to teach me, and he said, "Now, Dennis, let your word be your bond. You shake hands with a man, and you make a deal, you follow through, whether it costs you or not, you let your word be your bond." I remember the first time that I ever went to a bank back then, whenever I was young enough to be able to do any banking. Now, you understand that when I was young enough to do any banking, I would deposit my $20. And before tomorrow got here, I needed it back. But I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, that our forefathers and so forth and all, I never will forget that banker reached his hand across the table the first time I was ever going to get it, and he said, "Is it a deal, or we got a deal or not?" And what he was doing was showing me that, hey, the banker's hand and my hand, our word was going to be our bond. Now, it's not that way in the day we live in. It's not that way anymore. It should be, but it's not. Now, in the day we live in, you'll find the modernist educators, and they've got health and education and welfare and HCW, and boy, as a result of that, we've produced three generations of people that are so egotistical and bellyachers and lazy and sex mad, pragmatic debauchers who are laughing stock in the country. Jesus said over in Matthew 11, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to take more than just the books of the secular world. And you ought to be able to read and you ought to be able to write. I hear something all the time. These young people, here's what they say. Oh, I hate math. If there's ever one thing you ought to learn how to do, it's math. How are you going to know how to count your money out and count it back? Have you ever noticed, and let's see here, I don't have anything to be able to illustrate with, but have you ever noticed whenever you used to, here's $10, and it's going to be $3, and so you're going to give back $7, and they count it out like this. All right, I owe you $7, 5, 6, 7. There was $3, and then 3, and 4, 5, and then here's 6 and 7. And they counted it out. Now they just wad it up and hand it and look at you like a... You see, we need math in our life. We need to learn how to converse with people. We need English. And let me tell you right now, I know something about English. I had 11 years of high school English. No. Not really. I stole that from an old boy that told me one time, and buddy, he was cornbread fed, and I can promise you right now, he probably did have 11 years of high school English, and he didn't know anything whatsoever about being able to converse with you concerning it. But I liked him. I liked him. I can't remember if he is that old boy scratching a board or not, but what I do know is you boys and girls need to be able to learn how to communicate. And you need certainly the basics of English, and you certainly need the basics of math and all that. Now, I got to tell you, there's some people that are going to need geometry. I'm not one of them. There's some people that are going to need algebra. I don't seem to be one of them. But if you can possibly grab hold of it, you ought to. See? Because one of these days, they may run upon something that I need. I want to say to you that, if you will, that we live in a world, and did you realize to know that in the day we live in, is that you can find sex education on any institution of the public that you want to find. But do you know what they'll do? They omit words like fornication, like adultery. And let me say to you is that whenever it comes to Romans 1 and about people that have turned, that have forgotten God and turned queer, that's going to be gone. 1 Corinthians 5 is going to be gone. Matthew 5, Galatians 3. Let me say to you that, if you will, that if you lie and look at the rise of America, the venereal diseases, homosexuality, prostitution, illegitimate children and drunkards and dope heads and people like that, the Bible said, by their fruit ye shall know them. We live in a world that's like that. And I want to say that whenever you begin to look into it and you begin to recognize that, is that everything in the day and hour that we're living in brings me to number 3. You're going to need a Bible, and you're going to need some books, and you're going to need a belt, just besides holding your pants up. In this lesson, you'll find that there's going to be the rod of correction that God will tell you. And let me say to you, somebody rightly said one time that every house is run by switches except for the children. We got a switch turn on light, switch turn on a fan, switch. Sometimes we need some switches, and everything in the house is run by switches except for children in the day we live in. That's why that you've got so many children, you know, that whenever they start out, hey, how you doing, and all that right there. Well, did you have a good day? Yes. Well, did you think by tomorrow that, nope. I can tell you right now is when I was growing up, I didn't have to have a lot of whippings, but I did pay attention to them when I did get one. And sometime they'd holler at me, hey, Dennis. They did that. That was my name, see. And I'd say, yeah. What'd you say? I meant, yes, sir. See? And that's just because we have to do that over and over and reminds you of that. When you train up a child in the way they should go, there ought to be a learning of some respectability. Closing, I want to say to you that, if you will, is that an old preacher, he was talking, and he said, my father was a real patriot parent. He laid on the stripes, and I saw the stars. You see that? Used to, and of course we had a Christian school over in Louisiana. I believe those parents never did believe in disciplining their children with corporal punishment. And so I had it to do myself there in the school. I didn't like it, didn't like one bit. And all that business there. But I learned something about disciplining a child with corporal punishment, or paddling, if you please. You ought to never grab your kid by the ear and yank it, or in the eye and slap it. But God's designed a place to where there's no vital organs, and to where that you can administer that kind of correction without damaging them. Now you'll take if you do, and it leaves a little mark, then they're going to end up somewhere going to want to sue you. I had somebody tell me one time, well, I don't believe that you ought to leave a mark. I said, well, the Bible said that the blueness of the wound cleanseth away evil. Right. See, our thinking and God's thinking is two different thinkings. Now, I can tell you this, is that as you instill some of these principles in them, it won't take nearly as much of that as it will be just to be able to loving, kindly express, here's what needs to be done, son, daughter, whatever, so forth and on. And the rod of correction can be administered unto you. I want to say to you that as we begin to look into this lesson there, an old fellow one time, an evangelist, here's what he said. I was raised at the knee of a devoted mother and across the knee of a devoted father. See, we've lost that, haven't we? And all you boys and girls, that if you ever do have to have a spanking again, and I hope you don't, you're a model student as far as I'm concerned. But if you ever have to again, if your mama or daddy says, now this is going to hurt me a lot worse than it does you. No, it's not. They're just trying to be kind. They're just trying to be nice. We're not happy-go-luckers and we're just wanting to give you a spanking and all that right there. So there is a certain amount of regret laid upon us. But make no mistake about it. If it's hurting your parents more than it hurts you, they're not doing something right. I want to say in closing that, if you will, that whenever you begin to look into this lesson there, is that there was a screaming kid in a store. And boy, I'm telling you right now, just uncontrollable and wanted this and wanted that and so forth and on. Didn't want to be told no, period. And somebody finally talked to the lady. She was at her wit's end. And she said, I just don't know what to do. And he said, well, I know what to do. You need to lay down that book of psychology you've been trying to teach. Pick up a belt. And the blueness of the wound will cleanse away that evil. We've lost that in America. We've lost that. I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, that when you and I train up a child, you're going to need to use the Bible. You're going to need to use some other books. Dare not think that whatever God has shown to other people is of no value to you, because it is of value to you. And you're going to need some other books besides reading, writing, arithmetic. Remember the little tune they used to sing, reading and writing, arithmetic? I forget the rest of it, but as a result of that, you're going to find out you're going to need the Bible. You're going to need some books. Occasionally, you're going to need a belt. Now, you can put it in whatever you want to, I guess. But you better be right in the sight of the Lord. You know, whenever you've just got one child, it's not going to be hard to figure out who the guilty party is. But boy, when you get a bunch of them, now you got to have court. You got to be the judge, the jury, the prosecuting witness, and this and that. But make no mistake about it, God's always going to be right. And if we simply instill enough of God in our children, they'll grow up in a way that'll be pleasing to the Lord, and they'll not return from it. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We ask your blessings upon these men and women, these boys and girls, and Lord, these families. I want to say thank you that we're not like the rest of the world. We've got children. We've got young ladies and young men that sing for God, that live for the Lord, that are examples one to another. And I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to be able to love one another. And dear God, by this shall men know that we're your disciples if we love one another. Now bless, I pray, the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.